The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and this is our Week 9 recap show. Oh, yeah. Myself, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, here to break down a wild Week 1 in the NFL season. Wild Week 9 in the NFL season. If you have a question you want to leave us, we're going to do a mailbag, midseason mailbag at some point. If you have a question for us, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We will answer any question that you have, including who is the best team in the NFL? Cause I don't think anybody really knows. Everybody's probably still taking the Chiefs, but man, some developments on Sunday make you rethink it all. What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Breach.
I just wanted to out-hey Ryan.
On Halloween, we hung out with some of our friends who, I forgot to mention this last week, but they were dressed as Brittany and K-Fed.
What? Oh, gosh. And they stole my costume. That's my costume every year.
What does K-Fed look like?
K-Fed, you just wear jorts and one of those white tank tops?
The guy had on like jeans and a jean jacket and a jean like fedora.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Fedora, yeah.
Could he dance?
No.
You don't have to dance if you're K-Fed. You just get the $5 million a year from Britney and alimony and child support.
I love that Breach knows more about K-Fed than K-Fed does.
I know more about K-Fed than I knew about Week 9 of the NFL season. This was total craziness.
Well, it's fitting that the Bengals were on bye, so you studied K-Fed all week.
That's true.
Saints, or the Bucks might as well have been on bye because they didn't show up against the Saints on Sunday night at home getting destroyed. In one of the most dominant games
ever.
I mean, ever?
Not ever, but I mean, it was a ass whooping.
I don't remember anything like this. They lost 38-3 to the Saints. Obviously the Saints plus 3 won. The under 51 hit. Drew Brees went bananas, 30 points in fantasy, and Tom Brady looked absolutely awful.
He went the opposite of bananas.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of banana?
Pork.
Nope. Ananababab.
That's what I was going to say. Bruce Arians said afterwards, give New Orleans credit. They kicked our ass in every phase. Tom Brady has thrown 3 interceptions a game for the first time since a 34-31 loss at Buffalo in week 3 of 2011. And that snaps a streak of 145 consecutive games with 10 pass attempts and fewer than 3 interceptions. The longest such streak by any player since 1950, according to NFL research. Our buddy and friend of the program, Aaron Schatz, who I'm struggling to find the tweet on about, but he pointed out that New Orleans gets 142.7% increase in DVOA for this game. He would have to go back a long time to find a game that was that strong. New Orleans is now number 1 in DVOA. Tampa drops 109.7 in DVOA for the loss. Or it gets 109.7 negative points for the loss. Wow. So that Tampa was the best team in football, according to Football Outsiders coming in. They probably fall like 4th or 5th.
I'll say this. Like the advanced metrics, including Football Outsiders, loves Tampa Bay's defense. They were number 1 coming in. I'm starting to think this is a bad matchup. Like sometimes teams are really good and they can't play a certain team. I don't think the Buccaneers, can figure out the Saints. Week 1, we saw it happen, and we were all like, okay, maybe Tom Brady's just not warmed up yet. Tom Brady's had plenty of time to get warmed up, and he's sort of flashed what we've seen from Tom Brady historically. We did not see that on Sunday night. The defense got exposed, and we're not talking about they just had a bad night and did things that were uncharacteristic. We've seen them blow coverages in recent weeks. They did it again on that first touchdown. For some reason, Todd Bowles kept playing like zone. The soft zone against Drew Brees. If Drew Brees wants to see anything, it's a soft zone. If you don't get up in those receivers' faces and disrupt their routes, especially with Michael Thomas coming back and Emmanuel Sanders is back, it's over, and it was over early. They didn't make any adjustments. On the other side of the ball, Bruce Arians didn't make any adjustments for Byron Leftwich. Tom Brady took a ton of hits. He's been sacked now 6 times in the 2 matchups between these 2 teams. The other 7 games, he's been sacked 7 times combined. And my big question, and teams get blown out. It happens. It doesn't necessarily mean the season's over. Like I said, I think it's a bad matchup. But my big question is, why in God's green earth, why on God's green earth, would Tom Brady be in there in the fourth quarter just taking hit after hit after hit? Because if he gets injured, Blaine Gabbert, the season's over. I mean, that's the reality of it. And then Bruce Arians being a jerk about it because people are asking, why'd you have Tom Brady out there? And they, well, we're trying to win the game. No, you're not. It was 35-0.
Yeah, you're not because you kicked a field goal.
Exactly. To avoid
or maybe you put Blaine Gabbert in because he couldn't possibly be any worse right. than Tom Brady was. It was insane.
Brady finished 22 of 38 for 209 yards, no touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. I don't remember ever seeing Tom Brady play a worse game.
He's thrown 4 interceptions. I think Breach probably knows the stat. I think it was against the Dolphins or something in 2011. I can't remember the stat. So he's had worse evenings or outings. I'll say this before Breach says something smart. The Buccaneers rushed the ball 5 times, which is an all-time low historically. And one of those rushes came on a kneel down at the end by Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. And that NFL record, like Ryan said, for fewest rushing attempts in a game. The interesting thing is that the previous NFL record was 6 times, and Tom Brady was actually involved in that game back in 2004. So a little fascinating that
against
he's
the Steelers.
Been part, yep, against the Steelers. Ryan remembers that, and the Patriots lost that game. And it was weird that the Buccaneers didn't try to run the ball. Sure, you're not running the ball in the third quarter when you're down 31-0, but you have the ball. The Saints fumbled on their second possession. It's 7-0. You know, why are you slinging it this entire time? You have a 43-year-old quarterback. Are you trying to prove that you can throw the ball because you have 3 guys who've been Pro Bowlers over the past few years, even though Antonio Brown's playing for the first time in a year? Chris Godwin is playing with like 1 finger. If Mike Evans is barely healthy, I mean, he was healthy in this game, but he's had trouble staying healthy. So I know you have all these weapons, but, you know, run the ball a little bit. They had, it seemed like their game plan was to try and not run the ball. And it didn't make any sense. And Ryan, I think you hit the nail on the head with this being a bad matchup for Tampa Bay. Look, if you're the Buccaneers, you look at your schedule, you say we're 6-1 against everyone else. We're 0-2 against the Saints. Let's just cross our fingers and pray to God that we don't meet the Saints in the playoffs. Cause as long as we don't, I think we have still have a pretty clear road to the Super Bowl. But I don't think if these two teams play 10 times, I don't think the Buccaneers would win a single game. That's how dominating the Saints were in both games, not just tonight, but also in Week 1.
I mean, surely it'd been one.
Did you see them play on Sunday night? It was 38-0. And they, as you pointed out, they kicked a field goal to save face, which is the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. A 48-yard field goal. Who cares?
Unless you love field goals. And real quick, first time in Tom Brady's career that he has ever been swept by a divisional opponent. NFL record 19 years without getting swept, and the Saints did it in 1 year, his first year in the NFC South.
So the Bucs are now plus 375 to win the conference, which is actually not that that's about the same as it was coming into the game. But they're now plus 170 to win the division. They were minus 125 or 130 or something like that, I think, coming in. The Saints are minus 230 now. So hope you didn't listen to me and bet on the Bucks. Glad I didn't bet on the Bucks.
By the way, we were talking about this before the game. Smash the over on 3.5 targets, catches for Antonio Brown. He had 3-2 at halftime. He was a non-factor, ran a terrible route that ended in one of the interceptions.
Yeah.
How do you think Antonio Brown got home after the game?
not from Tom Brady. I mean, Mike Evans got dominated by Marshawn Lattimore.
Dominated, absolutely.
Chris Godwin had a busted up hand and probably didn't need to be out there.
It's 7 fingers.
And Antonio Brown clearly wasn't, you know, ready to be back and playing football. Now,
one more thing before you finish. Gronk did not look great either.
Yeah, no, he did not, which we didn't even mention last week that Gronk was like coming for you after all your trash talk about Gronk.
I know. I was actually the word, and then they played the Saints.
Having said all that, I mean, I don't know how you can put the blame on anybody but Tom Brady. Like,
What about Byron Leftwich?
Okay, yeah, sure, that's fine. Or Bruce Arians.
And Todd Bowles, because the defensive game plan sucked too.
Yeah, the coaching was really bad for the Buccaneers, and Brady was awful. I mean, but his ball placement, even on there's a crossing route to Chris Godwin on a 3rd and 6, where, you know, I mean, look, you know, the guy's hands are busted up, and he like threw it behind him a little bit so he couldn't get, or no, it was too far out for so he could get it. And then like the would be touchdown pass to Gronk, where Gronk needs to get that.
Yep.
But like Tom Brady's the way Tom Brady's been playing, if he's going to be an MVP caliber guy, you have to put that in Gronk's belly. So he's not.
Or the interception where he threw the ball 40 yards in the air. It came down 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. And it was a punt. It was one of the worst. We talked last week. I don't remember which interception it was. We said it was the worst one we've seen. This one was one of the worst interceptions I've seen.
Yeah. Dennis Allen did a great job. I mean, they called a great game. They got pressure on him. I will say the other thing too. Ali Marpet might be a big deal.
He might be a big deal. And on the other side, Marcus Davenport was back, which helps Cam Jordan not have to worry about, because he saw a lot of one-on-ones with Tristan Wirfs and won those one-on-ones.
Which is just not a good idea.
That's also, again, it goes back to game planning. What are you thinking? Like, why would you?
Wirfs has been awesome all year. But you can't leave him on an island against Cam Jordan.
Play of the game, he smacked Tom Brady in the face and didn't get called, but that sort of set the tone for the rest of the night.
It did. Were we too quick to bury the Saints?
I apologize to Drew Brees. I've been dunking on him forever.
He looked awesome.
I think you need to apologize to him on Twitter, not just on this podcast, because I don't think Drew Brees listens to this podcast. I want you to tweet him.
Okay, that's fair enough. Because I said, you know, he throws the ball 2 yards past the line of scrimmage and he's washed. He's not. Because clearly teams are going to play zone against him for some reason. And that's, like I said, Mike Thomas is back. Manny Sanders is back. Jared Cook has had opportunities to shine. Taysom Hill, suddenly a wide receiver that you have to worry about. Josh Hill caught a touchdown pass. I think he was on the wide open touchdown pass where Levante David was trying to signal someone on the defense. They snapped the ball. Levante David forgot where he was. The easiest throw of the game. So yeah, no big deal.
Levante David forgot where he was for half the game. I mean, the whole Buccaneers defense looked lost. And Taysom Hill, I feel like this was Sean Payton's "I told you so." Like, speaking of tweeting at people, Sean Payton's going to tweet at Brinson and be like, "Yo, bro, I told you so. I told you Taysom Hill could be a weapon." Because we all, I mean, everyone does.
I already apologize for it.
We all do it with saying, you know, why are you putting Taysom Hill out there over Drew Brees? But this was really, this was a great example. This is the game that Sean Payton's going to keep pointing to. That's why I keep doing it, because he's a force. He's a weapon. You know, we finally saw him throw a pass and he threw two of them for 48 yards. And the Buccaneers had no idea it was coming because they thought he was going to run the ball. Anytime he was out in the field, all of a sudden you have receivers running wide open. You know, and no matter how you feel about Taysom Hill as a quarterback, he can hit wide open receivers. But Tom Brady was the 4th best quarterback on the field. I'm going to say Jameis Winston was better. I mean, it was insane.
Completed a pass.
A to W.
A to W. Throw any interceptions.
Didn't throw any picks.
Threw it to a Saints player in Raymond James Stadium just for old time's sake.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So the Saints are now 6-2. The Bucs are 6-3. I would suggest that the division race is not quite as wide as the odds make it.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, it's not like the Bucks are like 4 games back.
Yeah, but the Saints have the tiebreaker.
Yes, clearly. It's a 2-game head-to-head sweep.
Yeah. So that's why I'm less concerned about.
Well, all right. So the Saints schedule coming up. They have the 49ers at home. That's good timing. The Falcons at home, at the Broncos, at the Falcons. Eagles on the road, and Chiefs at home, Vikings at home, at the Panthers.
I mean, that's 7 wins right there, isn't it? 6 or 7 wins?
It feels like they're going to win 13 games, yeah.
I feel like they're going to lose one of the Falcons. Falcons always split with the Saints. Somehow, even last year when the Falcons were horrible, they managed, and the Saints were good, they somehow managed to split.
So even 12-4 wins that division, I feel like.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think the Buccaneers have a pretty tough schedule down the stretch.
The Buccaneers have the Panthers next week. RIP Panthers. The Bucs are going to roll them by like 40 points. Rams, Chiefs, Vikings, Falcons twice, and the Lions. That's a much more difficult schedule.
Yeah, so I think 12-4 sounds about right.
The Saints, if you lose to the Chiefs, not the end of the world.
No.
And lose one of the Vikings. I mean, the Falcons would take care of the rest of them.
Or even lose to the Eagles. I know you want to give Debo his credit, but maybe.
The Eagles are terrible. Giants are winning that division. All right. Bills and Seahawks. By the way, just real quick. I mean, like, who is the best? I mean, the Chiefs are the best team in football, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's the second best team in football?
Yeah. I mean, it changes. You mentioned Aaron Schatz, our buddy Football Outsiders. He also mentioned that every team, there are no good teams this year. Like a lot of sort of above average teams, but it's sort of hard.
Steelers are undefeated, but do you really want to call them the second best team in football?
I mean, I will say this, and you know, I annually write the story about when they lose to terrible teams. And I just looked up that stat. We can talk about that a little bit. At least they're beating terrible teams. So that's a slight advantage, but I don't feel great about the way they play.
All right. Well, we'll get that in a minute. Let's hear about the Seahawks and the Bills. I think both of those teams have a claim, at least, to be the second best team in football. But given the way their defenses play, probably not. 44-34. The Bills beat the Seahawks. Josh Allen looked like the Josh Allen the first 4 weeks of the season. Went 31-38 for 415 yards, 3 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs over 100 yards on 12 targets and 9 catches. John Brown, 99 yards, 8 catches on 11 targets. Gabe Davis caught a touchdown. Tyler Kroft caught a touchdown. Allen ran one in. Zach Moss ran one in. And Russell Wilson, I think with his performance, 2 interceptions and a fumble, 28-41 for 390 and 2 touchdowns too. But he wasn't awful. But I think he opened up the MVP race. It's not anywhere near the odds that it was before. And if you look at William Hill, Russ is now +130. Mahomes 2-1. Rodgers 3-1. And Josh Allen moved into the fourth spot at 18-1. I still think Russ is probably the favorite. I mean, he is the favorite, obviously, but like I would still predict that Russ wins.
But I mean, I thought he cracked the door open against the Cardinals when he threw 3 interceptions. Now sure. I think the door has just been kicked open and it's completely up for grabs. I wouldn't even say Wilson is the favorite. If I had to vote right this second based on how Russell Wilson has played, in 2 of the past 3 weeks, obviously the 2 interceptions against Buffalo and the 3 picks against the Cardinals and both losses, both big games, I'd probably vote for Patrick Mahomes, and not Russell Wilson, but we're not talking about Patrick Mahomes. You could also vote for Josh Allen. I mean, he was the reason they won this game today. We all knew the Seahawks defense was bad, but there is no, you have no idea which Josh Allen is going to show up. Is it going to be 2018 Josh Allen who's airmailing his receivers, throwing it 10 yards over the head, completing 52% of his passes? Cause that Josh Allen had started to creep into existence over the past few weeks, but no, Josh Allen that we saw from the first few weeks showed up and, the Seahawks could not do anything to stop him. You know, we saw 415 yards and 3 touchdowns. There's only been 3 games this season where a quarterback threw 400 or more yards, 3 touchdown passes or more, and 0 interceptions. And Josh Allen has 2 of them. Patrick Mahomes has the other one. Every other quarterback in the NFL has 0. So I was just very, very impressed with how well Josh Allen played, considering his offensive line got banged up. He got sacked 7 times, and he still wasn't missing. He didn't get rattled at all. He just tortured the Seahawks, and, I mean, the Bills look good.
No, I'm with Breach, and I'm with Breach also on Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to yell that. Patrick Mahomes, we'll talk about this in a second, 9 touchdowns the last 2 games, 25-1 touchdown interception ratio. Russell Wilson can't do it all. I mean, he is – arguably the best quarterback in the NFL, but he cannot do it all. And if the defense no-shows, which they did again, even though Jamal Adams was back after not playing for a long time, even though Carlos Dunlap was on the field for a little bit after the trade, you couldn't tell because they got torched up and down the field. Again, and, you know, this is Breach's big thing. They had to travel to the West Coast. Seattle is the farthest place in North America, in the United States when it comes to travel, when it comes to the East Coast. And I'm sure that's part of it. But, I mean, look, they may have to travel – this way in the playoffs. So it's not an excuse and Russ just can't do it all. And he had an interception. I think it was in the first quarter, threw in the end zone. It was on 4th down, they went for it. So at the end of the day, he had to do something, but the interception in the end zone are never great. And,
their defense is terrible.
He was outplayed by Josh Allen, whose defense is also terrible in Buffalo, but they were less terrible than Seattle.
I sort of wonder, can the Bills defense get good again? Cause like we're seeing it with the Saints, like kind of come, you know, we saw that like, kind of coming together.
Seahawks defense get better because Jamal Adams is back. What makes the Bills defense? Why would they get better? Like, I don't know who I could turn to. Like, Trey White played well, but again, they gave up 34 points. How many points they gave up?
Yeah, a lot of it was garbage time though.
Well, it's funny you guys mentioned the Bills defense because you know who iced the game? My boy AJ Klein, Mr. Ryan Wilson making fun of me all year about the Bills defense not being better because it wasn't such a good free agent addition. He strip sacks Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter in a 2-touchdown game. If the Seahawks go down and score on that drive, all of a sudden it's 41-34. The Bills would have been choking because the Seahawks making this comeback, but it didn't happen because AJ Klein with the strip sack that set up a field goal that put up the Bills 44-27. At that point, it was over. Our boy, my boy, my personal boy, AJ Klein, 2 sacks, 4 QB hits, a tackle for a loss, forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. Ryan, you owe AJ Klein and kind of me an apology.
Andrew Brees. So one Saint, one former Saint, and you. Got the list.
Yeah, so it was 41-20 when Josh Allen ran in for a score.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in it was 27-20 at the end of the third quarter. I mean, the Seahawks were playing bad and it was still a close game. And that was after the Bills had already sort of blown a 27-10 lead. Like they were up 24-10 at halftime.
Well, that's Russ Wilson, right?
Yeah. And I mean,
you can't do it all is the takeaway.
So and that was the huge, I mean, you said the Seahawks played bad. So the Bills were up 41-27. They got the ball after the long touchdown pass by Russell Wilson. The Bills go 3 and out. They had a 4th and 1, and I'm sure people in Buffalo are like, please go for it. We don't want Russell Wilson back on the field. But then they punted anyway, and they punted it back, and the Seahawks got the ball. And if they had scored, you know, it was like 8 minutes left in the game. You score in 2 minutes. You're only down 1 touchdown with 6 minutes left. That's a very winnable game. But none of that happened because of AJ Klein.
It did. I mean, it did feel like Russell dug them all. That's the thing. They don't have, you can like let Russ cook is great. But if you don't have a defense and you don't really have a running game and they need Chris Carson, I think Chris Carson is a really good player. DJ Dallas is fine, but they need Carson. If all you have is like a high octane passing game with Russell Wilson, he's not operating at maximum efficiency. You're not going to win every game. Like that's just not how it's going to. He can't play the way he played in the first 4 weeks. Which just like fine. Josh Allen, the first 5 weeks. Now he's now having, you know, a bit of a like a, you know, just an evening out process here.
Which is why Tom Brady's in a great situation with that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. Yes, they got steamrolled on Sunday night, but you know that defense can help you out when you are not clicking offensively. And as you point out, Russ doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Russ is sitting in the kitchen cooking, and the rest of the house is burning down. That's what's happening with Seattle.
That's pretty good. Do you think that the Bills are a lock to win their division?
Yes, I agree.
Like now we can get to the other team that might be interesting there. But 7-2 feels pretty. They're 4-0 in the division now.
And this is a huge win. Like, you know, we've talked about them having big games and they should have lost. If you told me they lost that Patriots game last week, the way they were going down there before the strip for the fumble by Cam Newton, I'd be like, all right, that's 3 losses in a row. This is not looking great for them.
Yeah.
So this is a good bounce back game for them.
I mean, they bounce back from 2 bad losses and Josh Allen playing poorly to beat the Patriots and beat the Seahawks. And I know that the Patriots aren't a good team, but it's the
Patriots. They almost beat them. The Patriots should have won that game on that last drive.
And they've had a stranglehold in the division for 20 years. Like that was the game meant a lot. And then the Seahawks might have a bad defense, but the Seahawks look like an upper echelon team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So yeah, huge win for the Bills. They are going a game and a half clear of Miami for first place.
Right.
Their strength of schedule in terms of their wins is very impressive. Like they're only +9 overall. How is that? The point differential is +9.
That's what happens when you get rolled 42-16 by the Tennessee Titans.
That game's weird.
In Nashville on a Tuesday. But let's not count Tuesday games because that is really weird. Right. I don't think you can hold that loss against them.
They're -900 to win the division.
All right. Well,
I think the Dolphins would be an interesting value though. And those two teams play in week 17. The division could be on the line in that game.
The Dolphins, you say?
Yeah. Dolphins, Bills, week 17.
That was a segue for Brinson.
Oh.
Did you know that Josh Allen now has the most 400-yard passing games in Bills history?
I saw that on the sheet. You know who is behind him? See if Breach can guess who's behind him. Who's number 2 in the list, Breach?
Well, tied for first, actually, I guess.
Okay, tied for first.
Well, my natural guess, you guys know what it's going to be, and I already know it's wrong because of the way I'm being looked at right now. So it's not Jim Kelly.
Yeah, if you wouldn't ask the question, it was Jim Kelly. How did he only have 1 400-yard passing game? That's wild.
Yeah, Thurman Thomas.
Yeah. I can't even think of another Bills quarterback who would throw for 400 yards. That's how bad Bills quarterbacks have been.
He played in the late 90s, I think he got traded there. Late 90s, early aughts.
He owns a winery.
I once saw him at an airport and his at the luggage claim, and it was literally a trash bag duct taped together. That's not.
He didn't speak to Tom Brady for many years.
His name rhymes with Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe.
There it is. You got it. Well done.
He didn't even play for the Bills in the 90s. That threw me off.
Late 90s, early aughts, he got traded.
Yeah, he got traded in 2001 after he lost his job to Tom Brady in New England.
Yeah. Oh, early aughts. I was right about the early aughts part.
Yeah, but you also threw the 90s in there.
Clearly it wasn't the 90s. That was friggin' Jim Kelly.
Late 90s, 99. Okay.
That's not accurate.
Ryan, that was a bad hint, and it confused me.
No, you're right. It's not. I was not wrong, but Jim Kelly wasn't playing in 1999 was what I was alluding to.
That's true.
Wilbur there.
Fair.
Was it Flutie in 99?
Rob Johnson? Doug Flutie, maybe. Yeah, because that's when Wade Phillips benched Rob.
Yeah, Flutie and Rob Johnson in 99.
Rob Johnson in a playoff game, and they lost.
Yeah, after Kelly left, it was Todd Collins, Alex Van Pelt, Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson. That group of guys took them all the way to 2002 until it was Bledsoe for 3 years.
Are the Seahawks going to win the NFC West?
Yes.
Maybe.
I'm not feeling the same way.
All right, well, who are we talking about next? Because I would like to talk about one of the two teams.
Let's talk about the Dolphins first before we get there. The Dolphins beat the Cardinals. Woo! AFC East beating up on the NFC West. Devo, look at Devo putting these in order on the rundown. Like, it's just such a genius. 34-31, Dolphins beat the Cardinals. The Dolphins obviously covered the +6. The over 49 hit, whoops, by me. The top fantasy performers were Kyler Murray, who went absolutely ape. 43 total points. Tua Tagovailoa, 24 points. Christian Kirk, 18 points. I think the first question we have to ask is, really, Cliff Kingsbury?
Which
he attempted a 49-yard field goal trailing by three with a very convertible fourth and inches, I believe, at was it fourth and one? No, it was fourth and one. And Zane Gonzalez shorted it.
And how did that happen, by the way? Let's just stop for a second. Preach, how do you short a 49-yard field goal in Arizona?
The only thing I can think of is that he was trying to aim it. You start, it's where you take a little bit off it because you're just trying to make sure it goes straight. It's kind of like when you're out trying to kick a 65-yard field goal, you kick it a little lower and hard. You're taking your home run swing. This is the opposite of that, where you're just trying to chip it in. And I don't know how you fall short on 49 yards, but it did go right down the middle. So he got half of his goal correct.
Half the equation, but right.
The non-important
half one. Of his goal. It was straight.
Well, here, they should have given him a 1.5 points and they still would have lost.
Tua now 2-0 in his career. Look, I think Kingsbury should have gone for it.
Yeah, it's funny because last year he was super conservative too. I'm like, oh, this isn't the wide open offenses we were expecting from you, Cliff Kingsbury.
I mean, you have so many options. Like, you can go to Hopkins, even though he'd been bottled up, I think, by
Xavier. Or you can go to the leading rusher, some guy named Kyler Murray who had 106 rushing yards and 11 carries.
Like, there's no way Kyler's not getting fourth and a foot.
Well, you know what's crazy is I actually think the only reason he didn't go for it is because on the possession before, they failed on a fourth and one. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like too soon. And you have that gnawing feeling in there and you felt burnt by it. And you're like, all right, no, we got to kick the field goal this time because if we don't get it, we're screwed. And I honestly think that played into his thinking.
What's the chances in just anecdotally breach making a 49-yard field goal in those conditions?
In a dome in indoors and probably like 80%.
80?
It's pretty high, if not higher.
If it's 80%, then I fourth and one and you're uncertain about it, maybe that might not be 80%. So in that case, I guess it's okay to go for 80%. Wow.
But that's the tie of the game. If you get the first down, you control everything because you can run the clock down. You maybe get a touchdown to win. You don't have to go to overtime or you kick a closer field goal.
Let me ask you guys this, talking about Kyler Murray and him just going crazy today, especially as a runner, although he did really well as a passer as well. Who's the best running quarterback in the NFL right now?
Kyler.
I'll go with Russell Wilson still.
Russell? I'm taking Lamar.
They're not letting Lamar run.
Yeah, but who is the best?
Kyler is incredible to watch.
He's not better than Lamar. I don't know where Breach got Russell Wilson from. That's a crazy answer.
Kyler's like twitchier than Lamar.
Yes, that is the craziest thing you've ever said. That's crazier than Garrett Bradbury. That's crazier than Trent Williams. That's crazier than the Steelers finishing last in the division. You put a poll, no one is saying that Kyler's twitchier than Lamar. Running the ball?
Kyler's electric, man.
Debo, who's twitchier, Lamar or Kyler?
Lamar Jackson.
I mean, I don't know what Brinson's talking about.
Twitchier. Kyler's twitchier. Lamar's more explosive, I guess.
What's the difference in your mind between twitchier and explosive?
Quick twitch. Like Kyler can like stutter and like.
No, show me again with like, you get, watch a YouTube channel. You can watch what twitchier versus explosive means to Brinson. So do twitchier. Okay. What's explosive? Okay, you got me there. All right, sold.
But you know what I mean? Like Lamar, like doesn't do like. I mean, he does. Lamar's great. I mean, but Kyler,
he is not running. You're right. But I mean, if you wanted him to run,
Kyler has this like little turbo button he presses, and he just takes off. Yeah, I mean, like, look, Cliff Kingsbury got way too conservative. I mean, the story should really be, I guess, like, you know, how well did, what do we think about Tua?
Yeah, I mean, we're better now about talking about both teams, it seems like, in recent weeks. Dude, so last week he threw for fewer than 100 yards because the defense and the special teams did a lot of heavy lifting. A couple things that really stuck out to me in watching the series that I got to watch. Who's the offensive coordinator? Brian Flores is the coach, obviously. I don't remember. Chan Gailey. So there was a play deep. He was in his end zone. He had to throw a laser, like a little quick little slant. A quick out, I can't remember what it was, but it was a laser, I think, to Preston Williams. And it was right on the money, a play that you typically wouldn't want your first-year quarterback to make with very little experience. And it was a fantastic throw. And there was also a play later in the game where he scrambled around. He hadn't done a lot of...
15-yard run where you got, like, boxed in. You're like, oh, he's toast. And then all of a sudden...
Exactly. He got pinball around there. And I wasn't up to that point. Our producer, Rob Arcerio, was talking about this. He says he hasn't run a lot, so you wonder how he is athletically, and that sort of answered that question. He actually took a big hit at the end of that. So a huge game for him. Huge.
Yeah. I was doing that Twitch show with Azer. I end up missing most of the afternoon games when you do that. It's kind of, you get plenty of them, but you just can't watch it the same way you normally would. Tua finished 20-28 for 248 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, ran the ball 7 times for 35 yards, was at one point their leading rusher, I believe. I was hoping you'd take over while I cough, Breach, but whatever.
Oh, well, it's weird watching Tua because I think last week against, in that first game, we're all thinking, is he in any good? He didn't do anything at all, even though the Rams won. So it was definitely one of those where the jury was still out. And he came in this game. And as Ryan said, I feel like through the first half, it was that same feeling like the Dolphins got that early defensive touchdown, off the Kyler Murray fumble. And it was like, oh my gosh, here we go again. The Dolphins defense and their special teams are scored 3 times. Tua's not going to have to do anything. They're going to win the game. We're not going to know if Tua's any good. But I really thought in the second half that Tua really, really impressed me. And now, you know, Brian Flores looks like a genius for making the decision, the bold decision to put Tua in there. And Brian Flores also looks like a genius because he looks like he's building a defense that Belichick had in New England. Everyone from Belichick's coaching tree has been trying to do that, and they just fail and fall flat on their face. And Flores looks like he's actually getting it done.
So, better chance of winning their respective divisions, the Dolphins or the Cardinals?
Ooh.
I actually might lean towards the Dolphins. I trust them more.
Well, I think that you would take the Dolphins probably because
less competition.
Yeah.
Like see,
the Rams might be the favorite. I mean,
what? The Rams are going to be in first place if they beat the Seahawks in week 10.
We just talked about how terrible Jared Goff is.
Man, he plays well against the Seahawks, and if they beat him on week 10, the Rams are in first place.
All right.
You have a 6-2 team, a 5-3 team, a 5-3 team, and a 4-5 team.
Yeah, but the 4-5 team is out of it just because they don't have anyone left.
More than likely, but they're at least going to be a pain in the ass for everybody else trying to win. Like,
I can't trust the Cardinals, and that's not, I don't mean in a bad way. They were a 5-1 team last year. I think they're still a year away, and Kyler's playing well, and that's all great, but I still think they have some.
I mean, they should have lost to the Seahawks.
They lost to the Lions. I mean, you know, come on. They lost to the Panthers.
Yeah, I'd take the Dolphins.
So would you take the Rams over the Dolphins then? I'm not buying. I just can't get it behind Jared Goff because one day he's fine. And I know Breach pointed out that he plays well against the Seahawks, but good Lord, the other games are hard to watch.
So also let's see. So the Dolphins have the Chargers at home, Broncos on the road, Jets on the road, Bengals at home, Chiefs at home, Pats at home, at the Raiders and at the Bills.
That's pretty easy. I mean, they're going to lose to the Bengals, of course, but otherwise it's.
Yeah, that's a great stretch for Tua down there. That's a great.
I mean, that's a pretty friendly schedule.
Yeah.
They're going to be favored in what? every game except for the Chiefs and maybe the Bills game?
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane to say.
Eight games, and we favored in six. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Oh, my God. All right, the Dolphins look like they're good. All aboard. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell you how Ravens-Colts will affect the AFC moving forward.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
So, the Ravens caught a bit of a break, Ryan, on Sunday afternoon. What'd you think about that?
What'd you say? What?
My boy?
I said they caught a bit of a break because of your boy, the way your boy played.
Oh, Rivers. Okay.
What?
I mean, Jonathan Taylor fumbled a ball, the Ravens housed it, and then the NFL officiating office gifted them the most ridiculous challenge I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, that's funny, because I thought that was an interception.
What?
Are you saying that to troll Brenton, or are you serious?
No, I saw it live and said, oh, that's clearly incomplete. And then Eric Casilius saw it live and said, I think that's an interception. I said, no way. But he took 4.5 steps backwards with the ball in his hands.
What are you talking about?
That's exactly what happened, Marcus Peters.
Stumbling backwards and the ball squirts out of his hands. He never establishes control.
But if he had taken 4 steps forward with the ball in his hands and then fallen down and the ball came out, it'd still be an interception.
Those aren't backwards.
Why not? Where's the rule that says that?
He's falling.
Yeah, that's momentum. Like when you're forward, you're in control.
He's walking backwards. He's what?
It wasn't moonwalking.
What?
I thought the ball was moving the whole time just a little bit until he dropped it. Like it never felt like he had control of it.
All right, you guys are crazy. So I'll go to the voice of reason. And what do you think, Debo? Did you see that play, the Marcus Peters interception on Phillip Rivers' terrible arm punt?
I just like siding with you, Ryan. but yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah,
I'll give you guys credit.
I would lean the other side.
My initial thought was that it was clearly incomplete, but then after watching it, all right. So Brenton, you hated that. Go ahead.
I don't mind your explanation, like the backward steps.
Like if that's a receiver. They're not ruling that a catch?
But nowhere in the rule book says that you can't walk backwards and then it doesn't count as a catch. That's the only thing that I'm hung up on. You know what I'm saying?
You've got to get possession to make a football move and nowhere did any of that happen.
I'm discounting you talking about him bobbling. He wasn't bobbling the ball. The ball wasn't moving. He caught it and then took a couple steps backwards, 4 steps.
I am what it was. Stunned. I mean, he's like, his butt hits the ground and the ball is in the air.
Yeah, but once again, I mean, if you catch the ball running forward and take 4 steps and then fumble it between getting tackled and your butt hitting the ground, that's still a catch.
I cannot believe this is happening.
Okay.
Apparently, Ryan was in the review booth.
We're in the review whirlpool drinking a pina colada, not paying attention.
You and Al Riveron with the...
Yeah.
But
everyone does the video. He's like, and as you can see, there's clear and obvious evidence. And like, as he's saying that on the video, the ball's flying out wildly onto the field.
To your bigger point, though, the Jonathan Taylor thing is unacceptable because you know that's what the Ravens do. You know that's what they do. And you're dorking around and the ball gets knocked out for every time.
Rivers had played well. He played well in the first half, I thought.
They could be up. They should have been up 13 or 17 to nothing.
Absolutely. And at that point, the game is over. Because if you have the Ravens up 13 or 17 to nothing.
Lamar looked like doo-doo in the first half.
Yes. And the Colts should have won that game. And they got hosed by the refs, and they made some bad mistakes.
I don't know if they got hosed. I mean, don't fumble if you're Jonathan Taylor.
That's good advice.
I cannot believe you're.
I didn't lose any sleep over it. And look. I want the Ravens to lose that game in the Steelers' home. So I, for me to say that, if you told me it was incomplete, once I would never think to argue. But once I sort of watched it and said, oh, the guy took 400
seconds. I think my biggest issue was wasn't it ruled incomplete on the field?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Yes.
So oh, I can't believe they overturned it. They overturned it. Like, that's what blew my mind. It,
and then they overturned it. Like, that never happens.
No, that's true. Again, Riveron was in the whirlpool drinking the pina colada.
And here's the thing, is the fact that we are disagreeing on it right now, like, how can it be clear and obvious? Clear and obvious is the old, if you ask 10 people in a bar, do they all agree? 10 drunk people in a bar would not agree on this.
All right, Brie, let me ask you.
Do you hear what Rivers said after that? He said, no one has ever been around a game thought that was a pick. Somebody who's probably never caught a football in his life decides.
That's as angry as you'll hear Philip Rivers.
It really is.
Who probably then made his Mina Kimes face.
he said, it's gotten so jacked up how the catch rule is.
Jacked up is a curse word for Philip Rivers, in case you not familiar.
No, yeah, it really is. No one who's been around football or watched football thought that was a catch, including the guy who caught it. But some guy who's probably never caught a football in his life gets to decide.
I hope he gets
angry, Philip.
I hope he gets fined like $25 for saying that. So,
you know how jacked up that is?
That is jacked up. Phil Rivers' wife turned.
Remember when there was a jacked up segment on ESPN?
You can't do it anymore. That's right. You can't. Crazy.
Why not?
Because people were getting hurt and you're sort of.
He got jacked up. It's like
and the thing is, we were like, oh yeah, that guy did get jacked up celebrating concussions.
Yeah, just dancing the concussions. I mean, that's all it was. Just like guys, it's like Cole McCoy got jacked up.
Right. Meanwhile, James Harrison is getting fined $200,000 for jacking him up like that. Yeah. Hey, Breach, is it clear and obvious to use your phrase that the Colts are the best team in that division?
The Colts, I do not think, are the best. I'm in Nashville right now, Ryan. I think it's the Tennessee Titans. And you know what? The Colts and Titans play each other 2 times in the next 3 weeks, so that's going to settle that. I mean, even if I think it's the Titans, it doesn't matter because they are going to settle it on the field by Thanksgiving.
Renson, defend your boy.
They've lost to the – who did they lose to? They lost
Jaguars
to,
in week one.
Jaguars in week one.
That was embarrassing.
The Bears.
Yeah, I sort of knew that was going to happen.
But it was embarrassing.
Still embarrassing, yes. The Ravens, I don't know who's the other loss, Breach.
Cleveland.
Cleveland and the Ravens. That's not a good loss. Cleveland's a physical run team. Weird weather.
But this is supposed to be a great defense. And the defense actually did pretty well early on.
Fine.
Well, early the first half, it was tail two halves. But I don't know. This to me doesn't feel like a long-term playoff team.
The defense feels like it's been getting a little worse the past couple weeks. They struggled against the Bengals 3 weeks ago.
There it is.
I mean, I'm just saying that they did.
I think a lot of these defenses that are advanced metrics really good have struggled. Steelers, the Colts, the Buccaneers on Sunday night. And I think it goes back to what Aaron Schatz said, that there are no really good teams.
Yeah, there aren't any good teams. The Chiefs are good. Colts are fine. I mean, like, obviously you look at them right now and think that the Titans are the favorite to win the division, I think. But
okay, you admit that? Yeah, I agree with that.
They were favorite coming into this week.
Get on the Titans train, Brenton. There's room.
No, Breach, go to hell.
Oh, Clay Travis is driving it, man. He wants you to sit right next to him.
Well, if it's anything like the last couple of projects Clay's driving, it's going to end poorly.
Big win for the Ravens because I thought they were going to drop 2 in a row after last week's loss to the Steelers in heartbreaking fashion. So that's a big win for them on the road.
Titans are now minus 200.
Okay.
Wow, the Steelers are minus 400 to win the AFC North.
That's.
Did you get the Ravens at 3-1 to win their division?
I mean, the Ravens ain't out of it. I'll just say that.
Yeah. The Pats are 25-1 to win the East.
I mean, that's wasting money.
I'm just saying it's crazy to see that on paper. The Chiefs took care of business against the Panthers, barely winning 33-31. Panthers 10 plus 10 cover, the over 51.5 hit. Top fantasy performers were Patrick Mahomes with 38 points, Teddy Bridgewater with 31, Christian McCaffrey with 26, and Tyreek Hill 23. Christian McCaffrey returned from injury, and he was awesome. He looked great. Well,
he's pretty good.
They said that he was going to rotate with Mike Davis. That didn't happen. Mm-mm. And CMC was just explosive. That's what the Giants screwed up last year with Saquon Barkley. They rushed him back from that high ankle sprain. He wasn't right. McCaffrey came back and looked fantastic. He won somebody $1 million on DraftKings.
Wow.
By the way, the Panthers have lost four straight now, and they've not won a game this year with Christian McCaffrey playing.
Hey, Breach, let's work backwards from the final play. What did you think about the 67-yarder? How good did you feel about Sly trying to make that game winner?
You know what? Here's your option. You throw a Hail Mary with Teddy Bridgewater. Can Teddy Bridgewater throw it 60 yards in the air? I'm not sure. And I think that, look, is a 67-yard field goal very, very low percentage? Yes. But I actually think the fact that he got so close against the Saints on that 65-yarder that missed by about 8 inches, I think that's where Matt Rhule said, you know what? Send him out there. Let's do it. And I do think they showed video of him hitting like a 65-yarder before the game that made it by about 4 yards. Wow. And boom. And you know what? He did miss it, but he had the length. It was long enough. It just went wide right.
Like it just went outside the wide of the back of the end zone. You thought that would have cleared it?
I think it would have cleared it.
Well, and this is different than the Saints too, because the Saints game, it was like 4th and 19, but there was a lot of time left. It was 4th and 10 at Casey's 49. And so you either need Teddy Bridgewater to throw a Hail Mary or have Joey Sly make this. And if you've seen him come close, and he came really close in New Orleans, obviously, this is different because it's outside against Kansas City, but you've seen him make it in the pregame. Like, I like that attempt rather than having Teddy, who I don't know how I feel about a Teddy Bridgewater Hail Mary from midfield.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is actually, I mean, on a lot of other teams. Yeah, I get it. I mean,
he's great. He's just not a deep. He's not
like, right. He's captain check down. But I mean, on the Bears, he makes that team a much better team.
Well, we're not. That's a different discussion.
I'm just thinking about. Yeah,
I think about if you were ranking starting quarterbacks, you wanted throwing a Hail Mary for you. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are 1 and 2 in some order, and then Teddy Bridgewater is probably like 18 or 19 at best.
I think the crazy thing is that the Panthers actually had 2 downs to try and get closer. And they just couldn't do it. You have the Chiefs a little bit confused. I guess the Chiefs were kind of covering the sideline because Carolina couldn't throw it to the middle of the field because they didn't have any timeouts. And so all you need to do is if you get a 5-yard out or even, you know, if the Chiefs come up and try and block that, then you run like a 10-yard out because there's 9 seconds. You have time to run a 10 or 12-yard route. And they just couldn't do it. They completed a pass to McCaffrey. And McCaffrey got out of bounds by like the skin of his teeth.
Yeah.
And then an incomplete pass on 3rd down, and then they had to kick the field goal. But if they would have gotten like 5 yards, that would have given them a realistic shot at hitting a field goal.
So their drive, like their last 2 drives were absolutely wild. Like Teddy had this crazy rushing play. Did you see the rushing play where we got that 1st down?
I don't know. What happened?
It's on a 4th. It was like a 4th and, let's see, 4th and, oh goodness. Sorry. It was 4th and, how can I not find this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was on that final drive.
Well, look,
it was a 4th down, and like Teddy was like pressured and he just takes off, and there's like 3 Chiefs in between, and there's like a 5-yard space between him and the 1st down marker, and there's like 3 Chiefs in there, and he just takes on this wild dive and goes flying over top and like spins 3 times and like ping pongs off of like every Chiefs defender and somehow like falls forward and easily gets the 1st down. It was crazy. And then like Curtis Samuel made an insane catch, and dude, it didn't feel like everything that was coming together was wild. And, they eventually got the touchdown, but it just felt like they were living on borrowed, like living on house money.
Well, just real quick on that play, Brenton, it was 4th and 14.
I cannot find it.
And there was still 13 minutes left in the 4th quarter. So it's not like the Panthers had to go for it, but I think that Rhule felt that, hey, if we punt here, the Chiefs are going to score, it's game over. Cause at that point it was 26-17. You're only down 9 points. But the fact they went for it with on a 4th and 14 from Kansas City's 46-yard line with 13 minutes left was mind blowing as it was. And then for Bridgewater to convert it with a 15-yard run made it even more insane.
That's right. So they score. It wasn't their next to last drive. It was the 3rd to last or 2nd to last drive, but that they scored a touchdown and Mahomes answered. I think the Chiefs are the best team in football. They've been in some dogfights. I don't think they're at their peak, but I mean, if I had bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, I'd be feeling at least pretty good about it because I think that they are going to find their rhythm as the second half of the season comes along, and they'll be clicking by the time the playoffs get here. For the Panthers, I think you feel really good about Matt Rhule.
I was going to say, I think you said lost four in a row, but they seem to be buying what Matt Rhule's selling. Joe Brady seems to have some things working. That defense is young. We say it every week, and they're only going to get better. And I think they're in a great spot. They're in a much better spot now than they were at the end of the season when they had to fire Ron Rivera because they weren't happy with the way Tepper wasn't happy with the way the direction of the program. You talk about the Chiefs, by the way, as I said, mentioned it earlier, Patrick Mahomes, 25 touchdowns, one interception, and the Chiefs offense isn't clicking yet. A month ago or 3 weeks ago, they rushed the ball 46 times in that win over the Bills because the offense wasn't really working. Andy Reid never done that. The week after that, they won on special teams and defense. The week after that, last week, Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns against the Jets. No one knows what that means. And then this week, they played another really good game offensively. Stops and starts because it was obviously very close. But again, the defense, the Chiefs defense has been really good this year. Defense doesn't, I mean, the defense, even good defenses aren't showing up week in and week out. And I think we should just come to expect that going forward.
Yeah. And one thing I will say about Matt Rhule is that I thought their game plan was almost perfect. The Chiefs are just a better team. I mean, the opening drive for the Panthers was 9 minutes long. Carolina had the ball for 38 minutes in this game. And if you're going to beat the Chiefs, keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field is the way to do it. Since the start of the 2019 season, teams were 19-2 when they had the ball for 38 or more minutes in a game that didn't go to overtime where you get that extra time of possession. So that's it. You know, like you keep the ball, you're almost certainly going to win unless you're playing Patrick Mahomes. What?
Where'd you get that stat? That's a good stat.
I pull stats out all the time. Fun fact, Brinson.
Yeah, you got it from somebody on Twitter, but I don't know who it's from.
I did not.
All right.
It was in grades. It was a special for grades.
Oh, okay. That you found or that somebody else found?
That I found.
You believe him, Ryan?
Yeah. If you said that, I wouldn't believe it.
Stop the count!
What's next?
Steelers 24, Cowboys 19. Cowboys plus 14 covers, obviously, and the under 44 hits. Ben Roethlisberger and Juju Smith-Schuster, your top fantasy performers. The Steelers are 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. The last team to win the Super Bowl after starting 8-0 was the 2019 Saints. Ben Roethlisberger had a
2009, excuse me. I was like doing the math. I was like, wait, the Saints won it last year?
Yeah. Did I say 2019?
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. Juju Smith-Schuster was good. But I don't know do you feel like the Steelers should be 8-0?
No. I mean, they could have lost that Titans game. They could have lost last week to the Ravens. The Ravens ran all over them.
Lost to the Cowboys.
Should have lost to the Cowboys. But here's the thing. You remember in 2017, I used to always rehash this story every week when the Steelers would lose. The headline from 2017 after they lost in week 3 to the Bears was Steelers continue to show ineptitude against inferior opponents under Tomlin. And the takeaway was this paragraph. They've lost 15 times over 7 seasons from 2009 to 2017 against teams with a combined record of 25-89. That's 219 winning percentage. The Steelers were 66-46. A winning percentage of 589 during that time. And they were favored, the Steelers were, in every game. So this felt like one of those games where the Steelers don't show up against teams they're supposed to steamroll. But the takeaway is they found a way to win it. Typically, they would lose that game by 2 touchdowns. And going into this game, people were saying, oh, the Steelers are going to score 20 points. They're going to beat them by 20. It's like, no, they're not. If they win by 3, that'll be a miracle because they never show up for these games. Afterwards, Tomlin even said, we got to quit getting our teeth kicked in the first half. We got to play better. And that's the reality. Ben came out flat. He did the thing where he gets hurt and leaves. Like, no one's buying it. We know.
I got to go to the locker room.
Yeah. He had to go take a number 2. That's how he got out of that. Mason Rudolph comes in.
He's and like pointing his knee and limping every throw.
I mean, come on, dude. But yeah, they found a way to win. Gilbert Gottfried is what I call him, but, Garrett Gilbert, I think his name is. Yep. He played well. I mean, credit.
Why wouldn't he in there for Ben DiNucci before?
I think he had just recently gotten there, so maybe he didn't know the offense as well. I think that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
He played for the AAF, played in the AAF for the Apollos.
Orlando Apollos.
Orlando Apollos. Yeah.
So he Brian, was there any point in this game where you thought the Steelers were going to lose?
Oh, yes. At halftime. I mean, it was 13-0, and the Steelers cut to the 13-9. And then in the second half, I think the first drive, the Cowboys had a pretty long drive, kicked a field goal. They couldn't score a touchdown.
We thought the Steelers were going to win.
Yeah. Not even the very last play played out exactly like the Ravens game last week, except those two teams, the Ravens and the Dolphins, the Cowboys, are about 30 teams apart in terms of being good and bad. I wouldn't have been surprised. I didn't think they were going to win. They didn't deserve to win. Megan Fitzpatrick, who was sort of, people were worried about where he was the first few games of the season. He showed up the last 2 weeks bigly, had an interception, had a pass breakup in the end there, and they did it. I think one of the issues to sort of worry about, keep an eye on, is that Tyson Alualu was out early last week. He's been amazing. You look at Pro Football Focus, he's number two interior defensive line behind Aaron Donald. He couldn't help stop the run, didn't play this week, and they were down to like their fourth defensive lineman. So maybe that helps when they get him back.
I do think the Devin Bush thing is a problem.
I think less a problem than Alualu.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't know the Steelers defense is that good. Like, they have good players.
Every good defense we've talked about today, they're holes. So you won't get an argument from me on that. I think obviously Bud Dupree and TJ Watt are crazy, crazy good.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward and Steph Tuitt are crazy good. But again, they have these lapses usually in the secondary. Guys are running wide open in that Cowboys game, which is unconscionable against a Mike McCarthy offense featuring, Garrett Gilbert.
Gilbert Godfrey, yeah. Look, the Cowboys.
And the Cowboys covered the spread for the first time all season. They did not set the NFL record for
most. There was no way they were losing that game by two touchdowns.
I mean, they.
That was bad. That was, I picked the Steelers. That was stupid. The Cowboys were free money.
Zeke played. He had a hamstring injury. Actually didn't play terribly. Tony Pollard ran all over him. So there are concerns. And I tell you who should be happiest about this game heading into next week? John Breach. Because I think it's going to be really close against the Bengals.
Are you kidding me? No. Now the Steelers had a close loss. It's going to knock some sense to them. They're going to go in there and just clean the Bengals' clock.
I don't know. Joe Burrow.
I'm just kidding. It's reverse psychology.
Okay. He picked the Bengals to cover on our YouTube halftime
show. There
you go. YouTube what's the spread? Exclusive.
What's the opening?
9.5.
That's too much.
Yeah, we were like, it feels short though, but I mean, I agree. It's probably too much. Giants 23, Washington 20. I hope that everybody watched as much of this game as I do, which was basically not much. The Washington football team had a chance to win late, although I guess technically this is involving two playoff contenders. The Giants +3 covered a push on the 43 total. Terry McLaurin had a late garbage time-ish TD. Maybe not garbage time.
Great catch and run.
Yeah, he's awesome.
58 yards.
Kyle Allen got hurt. Alex Smith had to come in.
Well, hold on. Stop now. You can't gloss over the Kyle Allen injury. It was reminiscent of watching it live of the Alex Smith injury.
Yeah, it was bad.
Of the Dak Prescott injury.
And the Dak Prescott injury. And thankfully, they didn't keep showing replays. But we've had a rash of really, like, your foot's pointing the wrong way injuries this year, more so than recent years. So
that's what Dave Damashek said on our Twitch show. He's like, is it because of the camera stuff or is it just because of...
Well, in the Georgia game yesterday against Florida, the tight end or wide receiver had the same thing happen to him, and they had to keep showing the replay because there was some question about whether they got over the line, so you had to see the replay like 50 times.
Oh, yeah.
Just give him the touchdown. We don't need to see this. But, yeah, so anyway, Alex Smith came in. Didn't play great, but it's always good to see Alex Smith out there.
Dislocated ankle, but only a small fracture for
– Oh, good. I guess that's good.
He's probably done for the year. But it's not as bad as it like it looked like it was like, you know, life threatening Alex Smith. But by the way, the Giants, they've won 14 games since 2017, which is pathetic. Six of them are against Washington. Daniel Jones just beats them. They're 6-2 against Washington since 2017, 8-41 against everybody else. That is wild.
Daniel Jones, 21 starts in his career. He's 4-0 against Washington, 1-16 against everyone else.
So who's the only other team he's beaten? Like the Jets or something?
That's bonkers.
He beat the Giants in a scrimmage. also, this is the first time, I think this season, maybe in his career, but I think this season for sure, Daniel Jones had more touchdowns than turnovers.
That can't be right.
This season, 100% sure.
Brent, the only other game he won was that Buccaneers game last year that went totally bonkers, and the Buccaneers kicker missed a field goal like at the last second.
Right.
Eric Casillas made a pretty funny joke that the only teams that the Giants can dominate are teams without logos. So they go off on Washington football team. Like there's no logo, there's no sort of mascot, just like random football teams. They do well against. Didn't like that.
So they should beat the Browns then, and we. 15.
Yeah, there you go. Then we'll see if Prince is making
a win for the Giants.
They had a logo last year and you beat him.
You know, is it crazy to think, and I don't like make Debo's ears bleed right now.
Debo already suggested in Slack. Giants 8-1 is an interesting proposition.
Is it crazy to think they could? I mean, look, they had a 2-point loss to the Buccaneers. It's a game they could have won. They should have beaten the Eagles a couple weeks ago if Evan Engram can hold on to that pass that Daniel Jones plays perfectly. They had a ridiculous 37-34 loss to the Cowboys where Andy Dalton miraculously came in and led a comeback, even though Andy Dalton never does that. They had a 1-score loss to the Bears. They had a 1-score loss to the Rams. Like, this team has been in almost every game they've played somehow. Like, maybe they're a little bit better than we think, and you don't have to be that good to win the division.
Let me ask you guys this. Who do you trust more, Carson Wentz or Daniel Jones?
I mean, I trust Daniel Jones to turn it over.
Right. That's the only thing I trust him to do. And you can say the offensive line stinks, and I get all that. But
Carson Wentz turns it over, too.
He does, but who do you trust more? That's what I'm asking you.
Debo,
let's say that you have $1,000 to your name, and that's it. And it's just for the hypothetical. And you get one wager on the NFC East. What are you betting on?
It's a good question. There's value in the Giants. Trust me. Like the Eagles are not good enough to be -320 and the Giants to be +900. I'm taking the Eagles as the safe play, but I would not be shocked if in 8 weeks the Giants are the division winners.
I just don't know how that's going to happen.
Eagles are -320, Washington +600, Dallas +9, 9-1, New York 9-1.
Wait, what are the Giants?
9-1.
9-1? Why?
See, that blows my mind because if they play the Eagles in week 10, if they win that game, they're tied in the win column.
Yeah, why are they?
That's insane.
Well, that's what we're saying. There's good value there.
I guess.
And they're playing hard for Joe Judge.
I just don't trust Daniel Jones. He's the team's leading rusher, I think. But
I don't trust Carson Wentz.
Defense is playing better. I'll give him that, but.
Defense tries hard. They have the Eagles in week 10, as Breach points out. They're bye. Then Bengals, Seahawks, Cardinals, Browns, Ravens, Cowboys.
That's pretty tough.
Sounds tougher when you put it all together.
Big week for Philly.
Eagles and Cowboys.
Eagles coming strong off the bye. It's going to be a whole different team after the bye week. I fully believe that.
Big week for Philly.
Doug Peterson off the bye. Doug. Oh, that's wrong.
And real quick with Philly, besides their non-divisional game, you have their divisional games after the bye. They have one against the Cowboys, Washington, and the Giants. And then their five other games are all against teams that are 5-3 or better. Okay. That's Philly's schedule. Philly's schedule, yeah. So divisional games and then five games against teams that are all 5-3 or better. That's not easy.
Yeah, but you just talked about the Giants schedule. You guys are crazy.
That was the Eagles schedule right there.
I know, Giants, but we just previously talked about
the Giants needed to get one of those games against the Cowboys or Eagles.
Again, you guys ain't talking me to Daniel Jones, so I'm out.
All right.
Debo, cut that. I need to know that he's out. You can't get back on the Daniel Jones bandwagon. This is a one-time offer, Wilson.
Fair enough. Lock me
out. We're leaving the station.
Podcast listener Alexander Ward, who's great about clipping old claims by members of this podcast. He wanted, like, you can play this for Wilson. It was like, I was like, are the Buccaneers best team in the, and you go, yes, and yes, next question, or something like that.
It was last week, too.
It was last week's recap. Absolutely. All right. So go bet on Daniel Jones to win the division. That's what we're saying. Look, you're wrong. Titans 24, Bears 17. The Titans covered as a -6 favorite. The under 46.5 hit. Nick Foles, your top fantasy performer, somehow, even though the Bears, I'm very confident, didn't have a first down in the first half. Ryan Tannehill, 18 fantasy points. A.J. Brown, 16 fantasy points. His seventh career touchdown of at least 40 yards. He is a big play machine waiting to happen. Desmond King, starting his first game for the Titans after being traded from the Chargers, had a 63-yard fumble return touchdown. And Nick Foles did some stuff. This game wasn't as close as the score suggests.
No, it was not. And it makes me wonder. I mean, Mitch Trubisky didn't play because on the one play he played last week, he hurt his shoulder. So I'm not laughing at his injury, just laughing that seems to be Mitch Trubisky's fate. So he wasn't available. But, I mean, you have to, again, have the conversation. Should Mitch Trubisky be coming back in there? I'm at the point, if you're Matt Nagy, you try everything and you try it all the time. And I'm sort of surprised. We saw Josh McCown go from the Eagles practice squad to sign a multi-year deal with the Texans. Is that what you're signing with the Texans? I think so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did some other team didn't pick him up? I mean, there are plenty of teams that could use Josh McCown, even though he's 41 and a backup. He can sort of get things done a little bit, but maybe he's not better than Nick Foles. Fair enough. But Matt Nagy must be at his wits' end.
I mean, this, look, I'm not going to take a victory lap on the Bears, like, again.
You're dying to, Brinson. Just admit it.
Once you apologize to them, things started going in your direction.
They are who we thought they were.
And we let them off the hook.
Denny Green said was right. The Bears are fraudulent. They're 5-4 now. Their season's slipping away.
But here's the thing is that the Bears defense couldn't have played any better in this game. They held the Titans.
That's how bad their offense is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a referendum on Nagy, on Foles. You got to make a decision now. I agree with you guys. Put Trubisky in because look, you held Derrick Henry under 75 yards. Derrick Henry was leading the NFL in rushing going in to week 9. You held Ryan Tannehill to 158 passing yards, of which 101 of them went to A.J. Brown. So literally the only person that could get open was A.J. Brown. You only let the Titans score 17 points, and obviously the seven that the defense scored. So the Bears defense, I would just quit the team if I played on the Bears defense. That's how frustrated I would be right now. The Titans were the 16th team to get 230 yards or less in a game this season, and teams are 4-12. So obviously you don't win a lot when you get 230 yards or less. The Steelers did it against the Ravens, as I'm sure you remember, Ryan. The Eagles did it against the Cowboys, as I'm sure Debo remembers. And then the Dolphins did it against the Rams in Tua's first start. So it's just these crazy games, and this was one of them.
Yeah, the Bears had 375 yards and 22 first downs, held the ball for 34 minutes, and had 17 points. The Titans had 228 yards, 11 first downs, and held the ball for 26 minutes and had 24 points. And that it really, it belies, like, the Bears had 17 points, but I mean, they were never in this
game. And no point did it seem like, right.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
At halftime, it was 10-0. And at the end of the third quarter, it was 17-0. And I mean, the Bears had done zilch.
Doo-doo.
At 10-0, I knew it was over.
Yeah,
here's what the Bears have coming up. Vikings at home on Monday night. Packers on the road. Lions at home. Texans at home. Vikings at home. Or Vikings on the road, excuse me. Jaguars on the road and Packers at home.
I mean,
they're getting to 8 wins. It's a question of can they get to 9?
Yeah.
I mean, Brinson, you kind of touched on it on the podcast that the Vikings have struggled against the Bears. I think the Bears have won 4 straight against the Vikings. So just kind of handing that game to Minnesota isn't, you know, I think a lot of people are going to assume because Minnesota's on a roll and Chicago's kind of in a free fall that there's no way the Bears are going to win that game. Well, I think at worst they're going to split with Minnesota just because their defense has been so dominant. They make Kirk Cousins see ghosts. You beat Jacksonville and Houston, all of a sudden, you know, you have a path to 9 wins.
And then what? You get to the playoffs, you get a worst draft spot, and you get blown out by 50 points in the playoffs.
You need one more after that. You split with Minnesota. Are we assuming a sweep against Green Bay?
No.
Beat the Jaguars.
You got to beat the Vikings once.
No, you beat the Lions. You beat the Vikings once. You beat Houston, Jacksonville, and Detroit. And then you can get swept by Green Bay, and you still get the 9.
Boom, roasted.
This team has no business with 5 wins.
No. All right.
They could have lost to the Giants in week 2. They should have lost to the Lions in week 1. They definitely should have lost to the Falcons in week 3. They played well against the Bucs. I'll give them that.
But anyway, and then you walk out and you play the Buccaneers in the first round of the playoffs, and you get that win.
That would be a disaster for Tom Brady. All right, Minnesota and Detroit played. There's no one hotter on the planet right now than my man, Dalvin Cook. Of course, he's going to lead the league in rushing this year after I didn't bet him when I did last year. He was explosive again. 22 carries for 206 yards and a 34-20 win by the Vikings over the Lions. He's the second running back since the merger to have 225-plus scrimmage yards and 2 rushing touchdowns in consecutive games joining, do you know who?
AP.
No, it's actually, you'll never get it. I'll give you 10 guesses.
What 5-year time frame?
2000 to 2005.
Corey Dillon.
This is a good guess. I don't think it's Corey Dillon, though.
Who is it?
Deuce McAllister.
Oh, dang it. Yeah,
I never 2003. It's the first 200-yard rush game of his career. He scored a rush touchdown in every single game this season, seven straight games, which matches Emmitt Smith's record to start the season from 1994. 12 rushing touchdowns in his first seven seasons, seven games this season, most by a player in his first seven games since Sean Alexander's MVP season of 2005. And I don't know what else to say. He's just amazing.
Got to keep him healthy. That's the answer, because Kirk Cousins turns into Kirby when there's no running game. Last week he had 11 attempts, 11 completions, like 11 to 14 or something. This week he was 13 to 20, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And that's the Kirk Cousins you want. Kirk Cousins is not a franchise quarterback, even though he makes a ton of money. Although now he's probably ranked 12th or something in the quarterback list. But that's what you need. And if you don't have it, that's a wrap. The defense is young. We've talked about the pass rush being an issue in the secondary or whatever. But if you have Kirk Cousins relying on Dalvin Cook to do 95% of the offensive work, he can turn out okay. So that's the strategy.
Well, the good news for the Vikings is they get the Bears this week on Monday Night Football. Then they have. I know the answer. I'm just going to, sorry, I haven't looked at the.
I don't know if that's good news for him, because
the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas, Jacksonville, and Carolina in some order right after that. So like, yeah, this is a team that can. They can beat the Bears. I mean, I know they struggle against them, but they can beat the Bears.
Here's the thing. If Chicago, no matter how inept their offense is, shuts down Dalvin Cook, the game's going to be 6-3.
It's a problem. Right.
But and after that Bears game, three straight games at home in Minnesota.
They're going to win all three of those games, and Dalvin's going to go absolutely ape.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you got to be careful, though. He can't run for 40,000 yards in the next month and expect him to be, you know.
I think you're just trying to get back in the hunt.
But then you lose him, and then you're back where you started.
Is Matt Patricia going to get fired?
I only showed up on the podcast today to hear Ryan answer that question. So, Ryan, please take the table is yours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the 9-7 back-to-back years, David, blah, 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 blah. Jim Caldwell. What's going on? This team is getting worse every single year. Yeah, we were fooled for a few weeks.
Getting worse every single week?
Matthew Stafford had to come out. I think they had a head injury. I don't know if it was diagnosed as a concussion or not. Chase Daniel came in.
Actually, Stafford got hit, and then the spotter buzzed down, and they had to bring him off.
Yeah, so Chase Daniel played. He threw a terrible interception. So I guess you can make the excuse that we were their backup quarterback, but again, no one cares. Like, the Cowboys don't care that you had to go to quarterback number two. They started quarterback number four today and almost won a football game. The team is worse. There's no two ways about it. Bob Quinn wanted Matt Patricia because Bob Quinn got there first, the GM. He got Matt Patricia, and it has gone sideways. So Matt Patricia might be a great coach. Somehow, some way, it's not working. I don't know how you magically fix it. And most coaches would not have been given this much leeway.
I agree with that.
I think Matt Patricia is still the head coach heading into week 16.
Yeah, I think let's wait till the end of the season, personally.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's no sort of benefit, I guess.
I mean, the same record as the Vikings is just going in a totally opposite direction.
All right, but they're 3-5. What if they lose to Washington? That's their next game.
Then there's some conversations to be had. That's right, because you're playing Alex Smith, who hasn't played a lot of football in 2 years, obviously. Or Dwayne Haskins, even, because he'll now be the backup. Dwayne Haskins can't get away from that. So if you lose to that team,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble now.
Vegas Raiders survived a crazy last second bid by Justin Herbert, the Los Angeles Chargers, to win this game. The Raiders minus one covers the over 52.5 hits. Herbert had 21 fantasy points. Keenan Allen, 16 fantasy points. That'd be the question every week is, well, how did the Chargers lose this one? Well, it turns out on a last second play, Herbert hits his receiver.
Donald Parham.
What's that?
Donald Parham.
It's ruled a touchdown. And they're like, all right, they're going to look at it. Chargers are celebrating, going nuts. Raiders are despondent. And it's like five or six replays. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. That ball is on the ground. How did it take us that long to realize that's just not a catch at all? And it was overruled, and the Chargers were daggered.
Part of the reason that we were fooled is because Parham got up and celebrated. And afterwards, I was thinking he must have just done that because why not? Why act like you didn't catch it? Go crazy, celebrate, throw the ball in the stands or whatever you do. Also, before you go on, the play before that, Justin Herbert made a fantastic throw in the back of the end zone that Mike Williams almost caught. He had in his hands, came down, got hurt, and the ball was jarred loose. So there were two opportunities, two great throws by Justin Herbert, 0 points. another L.
Well, two great throws by Justin Herbert, but also two great defensive plays by Isaiah Johnson. He did just enough on both plays to kind of break things up because he had his arm in on the Mike Williams thing and Williams just couldn't control it going to the ground. And then the same thing happened on the final play to Farham. And really, Ryan, I agree. Like you do celebrate, you get up because you don't know what the ref's angle is. The ref's behind you. He can't see what's going on. I mean, and as they were showing replays, like as this was happening live, it was like, oh, well, that replay, it looks like he caught it. Oh, well, that one, it looks like he caught it. They literally showed five replays where it's like, it's a touchdown, Chargers win. And then finally they sneak in this sixth replay. Literally there's one angle from like across the field where they zoomed in and you see the ball like bounce and hit the ground. And you're like, well, what if that
the ball's like rolling around on the ground. It's like, that's not even close to a catch.
But yeah, it's so obvious, but it was literally only one out of six camera angles showed the ball on the ground. Otherwise the Chargers get away with the win. So they lost because, we brought one extra camera to the game today.
That's right.
Jake and I catch a break.
That was, it's incredible. Justin Herbert's fourth career 300-yard passing game, two more than all of the rookies in Chargers history combined. I don't want to hear any Philip Rivers stuff breaches there. It's his third career game with multiple touchdown passes and zero interceptions. That is really, he's
so good. It's so crazy.
He's just good.
Eric Casillas asked me today, who does Trevor Lawrence remind you of? And I said, how Justin Herbert's playing now. If that's because they're same size, same speed, arms, blah, blah, blah. If he plays like that next year, Trevor Lawrence does for the Jets or whomever, that is a home run. Justin Herbert is playing so well right now.
Would Herbert go first or second if you redrafted?
And this, that's a great question. I talk about it every week. I know Breach will still take Joe Burrow, who I love. I think I'm leaning towards Justin Herbert.
Oh boy, what a turn for you.
Right.
Brian, that's ridiculous.
He has dunked all over me each and every week more than, well, who's been dunking on Brunson? Not the Bears. The Bears have sort of started dunking on themselves.
Steelers.
I guess
they keep winning by the skin of their teeth.
That's our first dunk. We're an hour in.
I don't know what's happening.
Joe Burrow beat the Tennessee Titans, Ryan. What's
stop it. It's not
what's
Joe
Justin Burrow. Herbert's best win?
You're on a bye. No Bengals talk.
Are you willing to concede, speaking of apologizing, Brunson, that Derek Carr's doing okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, Derek Carr's playing great. He throws the ball down the field. He looks good. He's playing the best football of his career. John Gruden's awesome.
You say it every week. John Gruden does a good job.
He's a great coach. I was dead wrong about Gruden, and I'm looking wrong about Carr, but I still don't think they're going to keep around forever.
No, but they're winning games that many of us thought they wouldn't. They're 5-3.
They're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're going to replace my pick of the Broncos going to the playoffs, which is the dumbest thing I've done in quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought the Raiders were the better team in this game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And the Raiders screwed up, too. They had a Derek Carr fumbled right before the half, and it got the Chargers a field goal to go up 17-14. And then the Raiders defense sort of took care of business, and you knew the Chargers would get back into it.
Justin Herbert threw a fantastic touchdown pass. He got jacked up, had to come out for the two-point conversion. Tyrod came in and wasn't able to convert it. But that touchdown pass, again, things you never saw from him in college, at least consistently.
The neighbors,
not Jim Neighbors. You know Jim Neighbors is, Breach?
Maybe.
He's on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah, I know the Andy Griffith Show.
He was, what was his name on the Andy Griffith Show? Not Cooter. That's from Dukes of Hazzard.
All right, moving along.
Why can't we turn this into an Andrew Griffith Show podcast?
I don't know who it is. Can't remember. He worked at the gas station. All right, go ahead. What's next? Nice.
Next. Texans Jaguars. Ugh.
Exactly. That's the
right. Oh, this one hurt. I had the Texans minus 6.5.
Jake Luton.
Jake Luton storms in the back door, which everyone saw coming. The Jaguars plus 6.5 cover. I knew it was coming when they
Blue Sanity took over Jacksonville.
Sanity.
The over 49 hit. Deshaun Watson, top fantasy performer, 28 points. Jake Luton, 23. DJ Chark, 20. JJ Watt could be traded, apparently. And,
hear his remarks?
He said, I'm not here for a rebuild. I'm here to contend.
So whatever happens, happens, basically. So.
Yeah, I think he's
done. Send him to the Steelers for a fourth round pick. We're in.
He's obviously going to Steelers.
Hey, I mean, it's gotta be the discount.
But to play with JJ and, or to play with Derek and
TJ. TK,
that's a dream come true.
I guess.
Luton had a 73-yard touchdown pass to DJ Chark. It was his first career completion. That was pretty awesome. It was the first touchdown of the week, too,
awesome.
Of Sunday's action. That's when you knew it was going to be like a nuts day when like Jake Luton throws a bomb to DJ Chark to open it up. It was the longest play for a player's first career completion since David Blau had a 75-yard touchdown pass to the Lions on Thanksgiving last year. He's the first player since at least 1950 to have 300 pass yards, 25 completions, and a rush touchdown in his first career start. Prisco has been saying for weeks that they like this kid.
His rush touchdown was amazing. He did a little spin move at like the 3-yard line to get in and avoided a big hit. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we hear all the time they love, quote unquote, this team loves this kid, but he balled out. He actually outplayed Gilbert Godfrey in Dallas, and he played pretty well, too.
Is he the best quarterback from the state of Oregon that was in the 2020 draft, Ryan?
Yes, he's much better than Justin Herbert. He should have been the first overall pick.
Brenton mentioned that it was the second longest, or the longest since last Thanksgiving, first completion for a touchdown. Here's your guys' trivia for the podcast. Since the merger in 1970, which quarterback has the longest first completion of his career touchdown pass?
Andy Dalton.
Incorrect.
Cam Newton.
That is also incorrect. I will give you.
You know what else is incorrect? The fact that Jake Luton is actually from Washington.
He went to college at Oregon State.
You said from.
Oh, dunking
from
yourself.
From Oregon.
From Oregon. From went to school in Oregon. Same thing.
What?
Ryan knew what I meant.
What? Yeah. The junior draft analyst name. What's the answer, Breach? Because you're not giving us any hints.
Oh, yeah. The hint is happened in 1991.
91. David Klingler.
Second hint is that Ryan might have watched it on live television.
Well, I mean, that is a gimme.
How's that not? That's a hint.
Kelly?
Who?
Which team would you be watching?
I don't know what the question is anymore.
You had the second longest. Who is it? I don't
know. You mentioned the stat that he had a 73-yard touchdown pass on his first career completion. Who has the longest first career completion for a touchdown since the merger? Brisker? No.
I'm going to guess Neil O'Donnell.
Boom. Debo wins the bonus points. You guys have to Venmo him money for that one. Yeah. For saving you.
Debo's trying to put us out of our misery.
I guessed the Steelers.
What did I nailed it. Jim Kelly? What am I talking about? Jim Kelly, when he drafted like 84? What am I doing?
89-yard touchdown in 1991 against the Chargers.
Great stat.
Thanks for sidetracking this Jacksonville Jaguars talk. Jaguars.
I tried.
Will Fuller broke DeAndre Hopkins' record for most consecutive receiving touchdowns.
You know what's great about that? As I thought about him running all up and down, you know where this is going. Hey, Breach, do you think that the Packers could use Will Fuller?
I was actually thinking that this whole entire game. What do you have, like a 50-something yard or a 77-yard?
Oh, what a big jam!
They couldn't stop him. I mean, I don't know if that's what Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones or Aaron Rodgers want. I mean, he's okay.
Aaron Rodgers was on a bye this week. Do you think he was sitting at home, like, watching highlights of this game, just throwing things at his TV and sending mean text messages to the Packers general manager?
Yeah. He's doing like
Britney. That good in this game?
He's doing like Brinson does. He pauses the show, rewinds it, takes a picture with his phone, and then sends it to Ted Thompson and Matt LaFleur.
It's Brian Gutekunst. Ted Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Ted. Yes.
James Robinson, 25 carries, 99 yards. David Johnson was knocked out with a concussion. Yeah. Deshaun Watson's having a terrible year.
He doesn't have to work with.
No, he doesn't. The Texans are awful. 2-6 now. And they're giving away a top 10 pick minimum to the Dolphins.
That's the worst part. To the Dolphins, Dolphins will be the favorites to win the division next year.
Probably. All right. We're almost home here. Falcons 34, Broncos 27. This game wasn't this close either. The Broncos put up a crazy rally in the fourth quarter to come back. Falcons minus 4.5 hits. The over 50. Drew Lock, top fantasy performer, 32 points. Matt Ryan, 28. Jerry Jeudy, 18. Lock, by the way. I think won the Millie Maker. Do we think he's, is he the answer in Denver?
No, he is not. He has not played well this year. Yeah. I know he racked up the fantasy points there towards the end. He had the worst interception of the week. I take that back. It wasn't, Tom Brady. He had a terrible, terrible interception and he makes not great decisions. I know he's a second year quarterback and I get all that, but he needs to play better. I picked this team to win, go to the playoffs. Ugh. Crying out loud. Yeah. That was
Jerry Judy's good though.
He is good. No offense, good. The offensive line suspect. I get that. Cortland Sutton's out. I understand that. Von Miller's out. I know. But Drew Lock's second round pick. And if you're playing like this and the Broncos have a top 10 pick, your job might be in trouble. That's just all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you're, I don't think he's guaranteed to keep his job.
Can you name the Falcons' leading receiver? You can look at it. I just wonder if you can pronounce his name.
Oh, he's, do you know what college he went to?
Yeah, UVA. Come on.
I think it's Wake Forest. UVA or Wake Forest?
Yeah. Okay. Undrafted free agent.
It's Olamide.
Oh, you got the hard part. Yeah. You can read the last name.
Oh, all right. Well, then let me go to the game. I don't really need to do this, do I? Breach, you know who it was? Breach didn't have a clue.
Yeah, it was that one guy who has the impossible pronounced name.
Yeah.
That you just wanted me to say it because I butchered a certain honey badger's name. And you're like, I wonder how Breach will pronounce
it. Oh, it's Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah. It's funny you can say those names, but you can't say regular stuff.
Seal.
He had a 51-yard touchdown catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
You know what, though? This was a classic. The Falcons almost blew a 27 to what, 7 lead? Like 27 to 6 lead? That was insane.
They're a mess. They were up 27 to 6. And like the Broncos had the ball with a chance to tie.
Yep.
I mean, it's just get out of here. Yeah, neither of these teams are very good. Falcons now 3-6.
But 3-1 with Raheem Morris. Can they win more games?
They can.
Morris steal the job?
No, can they get the 9 wins?
No, stop.
Yeah. Get 6-1 down the stretch?
Yeah, they can do that.
Maybe they still have to play the Saints twice and the Buccaneers twice.
I think they'll sweep both those teams. So they'll probably go 7-0. I mean, what are we talking about? It's 1:30 in the morning. And you're talking about can they go 6-1? You, I mean,
get out
go
of
back
here.
There. Hey, Breach, turn around and get that water bottle off your desk and hit yourself in the head with it for even suggesting that.
All right, let's go to winners and losers. Give me a winner, Breach.
Oof, my winner is a team that didn't even play this week. It's the Los Angeles Rams. You know who lost? The Seahawks. You know who lost? The Cardinals. You know who lost? The 49ers. The Rams got to sit at home and move an inch closer to first place, and then now they can take over first place themselves if they can beat the Seahawks in Week 10. So the Los Angeles Rams, who did not play, my winner.
My winner, the Miami Dolphins. Brian Flores has got that team working. Defense is coming together. Signed all those Patriots in the offseason that the Patriots could actually use those players. The defense is playing well. He went to Tua a few weeks ago. Everyone was sort of wondering about that because Ryan Fitzpatrick was coming off arguably his best stretch in a long time, completing 70% of his passes. Tua looked great in this game after a rocky start in his first outing last week. They're poised to make a run to the old Bills there. We'll see what happens. The Bills are playing well, clearly. But I think the Dolphins have a lot of confidence on both sides of the ball. And Tua, I think, is only going to get better.
I'll say my winner is Josh Allen, because I think you go from the way he started off the season to then those two games where he slid back and they lost. And then all of a sudden, you beat the Patriots and the Seahawks. You feel like you've taken over the division and you're at a good spot. You're very comfortable if you're a Bills fan. You know you got to deal with whatever playoff matchup you get. But Allen bouncing back this week in terms of his personal performance after struggling so hard the last few weeks, I think is a huge win for him. How about a loser, Breach?
My loser, you're going to love this, Brenton, because I'm not sure if you like these people, but my loser is Bears fans. Bears fans. Cause number one, they got sucked into the hope of the 2020 season. We heard them talking a lot on Twitter to Brinson for like 6 straight weeks when the Bears jumped out to that 5-1 lead. I'm guessing Brinson's Twitter feed has gotten a slightly quieter because they're not very talking quiet as much. And also they're losers because they have to sit and watch that Bears offense every week. That's torture. So Bears fans are my losers.
I was going to go to the Bears too. And my backup was the Lions, but I'm not going to go with the Lions because we know they're losers. That's not going to change. I'm going to go with the Colts. The Colts had a chance the first half to sort of wrangle up the Ravens and win that thing. The obviously things went in the wrong direction with that controversial interception. Apparently controversial. No one knew that, but you two. And now they're game behind the Titans and the Titans are the favorites to win the division. And so there's an uphill climb on a game they should have won against a very tough opponent. And they didn't do it. So I'm going to go with the Colts.
I was going to go with Al Riveron as my loser.
But you won. He got to drink the pina colada. The loser was
with Wilson in a hot tub.
Who knows what is happening with this game? Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Al. Instead, I'll go with Tom Brady.
Yeah. Oof.
I mean, it probably wasn't the worst game of his career, but it sure felt that way on Sunday night. And to get blasted at home by your division rival who you know that, you know, Drew Brees, you know you're going to have to go through them when it comes down to the NFC South and the NFC playoffs and all of that. And now you sort of feel like, man, there's a real leg up. Like Tampa Bay has Green Bay covered, but then like does New Orleans have Tampa Bay covered? There's all these different transitive property layers to it. And I just think that, I mean, what a statement by the Saints to remind the Buccaneers that this division wasn't just theirs for the taking.
Yeah, I think it's a bad matchup for the Bucs. We talked about it earlier, and I don't know how you fix it.
Maybe right. Okay, that's the show. I'm literally about to fall asleep.
You have that effect.
My eyes, I don't know if you can see this on the YouTube channel, my eyes keep closing. You tell?
I need to do what I do when my wife's talking to me. I paint eyelids, eyeballs on my eyelids. Just go take a nap.
I wear the glasses with the eyes that like pop out with slinkies. My wife loves that.
I'm sure your 8-month-old loves to be frightened.
The nice thing is like my eyes are always like fairly like
big. Yeah, open.
Are they usually? Yeah. No, but I'm saying like they're always like whenever I like in pictures, you can always see my eyes are like very like closed.
Oh.
One day Brenton will fall asleep at the end of this Sunday night podcast, but this was not the day.
All right, well.
All right, see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.